are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a precious moment in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? When you know where you were and who you've become because of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a lot to celebrate this morning. Praise His name. You are not weak. You are strong. You are not defeated. You're an overcomer through the cross of Jesus Christ. The wonderful cross. The wonderful cross. In the book Kingdom of Conflict, Charles Colson tells the story before the collapse of communism. The government of Poland issued an order that all the crucifixes were to be removed from the classroom walls. Just as they had already been banned in factories and hospitals and other public institutions, many church leaders were stirred to anger and resentment was all across Poland. Ultimately, the government relented, insisting that the law remain on the books, but agreeing not to press for the removal of the crucifix, particularly in the schoolrooms. But one zealous school administrator decided that the law was the law. So on one evening, he had taken 7 large crucifixes and removed them from the lecture halls where they had been hung since the school's founding in the 20s. Days after, a group of parents entered the school and hung up more crosses in those classrooms. The administrator promptly had those taken down as well. The next day, 2/3 of the school's 600 students staged a sit-in. When heavily armed riot police arrived, the students were forced into the streets. And then they marched with crucifixes held high to the nearby church, where they would be joined by 2,500 other students from nearby schools for a morning of prayer, a moment of seeking the Lord's heart, and a moment for the breakthrough of God to come to their nation. The soldiers surrounded the church, but the pictures from inside of students holding crosses high above their heads flashed around the world. And so did the words of the pastor who delivered the message that morning to the students. There is no Poland without a cross. There is no Christian without the cross. Such is the impact of the cross. There is no forgiveness without the cross. There is no eternal life without the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful cross signifies and demonstrates how God hated sin and His love of the actual person, the sinner. Because God so loved the world, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. The wonderful cross provided us with new life through the forgiveness of our sins. You can enjoy new life through the resurrection of the power this morning. Today, you can leave here with new life, I said, in Jesus Christ. T.T. Crabtree said this, had Jesus saved himself from the cross, he could not have saved us. The power that kept Jesus on the cross was not the nails in his hands or his feet, but it was his redeeming love. The wonderful cross triumphantly declares Jesus' great victory. Let's go to John chapter 19, and I'd like to read from chapter 19, verses 19 down to 30. It says this, Pilate had noticed, he put a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Christ, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each one of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." And this happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her to his home. Verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the aesop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The wonderful cross triumphantly declares Jesus' victory over his crucifixion, his death. And I want to share some insights with you to give you a greater appreciation for how the cross triumphantly declares Jesus Christ's victory. And we see here in verses 19 to 21 that the wonderful cross exalts Jesus Christ as King. The crucifixion would impact and remind every nation, every culture, every ethnicity, and every generation from that point to today. It would remind us of Jesus Christ, that he was King of the Jews, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And Pilate wrote the sign in three well-known languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And you have to understand why he wrote that, because he wanted every nation and every people group to understand that Jesus Christ was the King of the Jews. But he did not know God's plan that he would become King of Kings over all the nations. The Romans were known for their military, their politics, their languages, their social institutions. The Hebrews were known for their religion, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. And the Greeks were known for philosophy, medicine, astronomy, literature, and sophisticated art and theater. And in each of these languages, Christ was announced that he was king. Society and culture would be changed and transformed forever through the cross. Revelation 19:16 says, "On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name that's written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen? Amen. Have you considered today the importance of acknowledging Jesus Christ as your King today? We see in verses 23 to 24, the wonderful cross exposes the strategy, the scheme of the enemy. The cross of Jesus Christ was the conquest of Satan's kingdom. Satan held the power of sin, sickness, disease, and death, as well as the control over his own kingdom of principalities and powers. But when Jesus died on the cross and he rose and resurrected on the third day, all of those principalities lost their power. Darkness does not have a grip on us. Jesus has defeated darkness. At Christ's death, he stripped Satan of the keys of death and hell, and Jesus turned what seemed to be the greatest defeat into the greatest victory of mankind, which was confirmed through the resurrection. He is not here. He is risen. Jesus says in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. It doesn't matter what society or culture is stating today. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. Jesus will save and cleanse and renew and forgive all mankind's sins when they come to the cross. If you're being harassed by the enemy, remind yourself that Jesus holds the keys of death and hell, and that he has exposed and conquered the enemy. We see a very special moment at the cross. We see in verses 25 to 27 in the scripture in which I read that the wonderful cross is an expression of divine compassion and goodness. Despite his own pain, despite his own suffering, despite the pain and suffering that this had caused the ones he had loved, he was going to remain compassionate in the midst of his own suffering. And we're moved by the care he demonstrates for his own mother. It becomes evident that God's divine compassion and goodness were allowing Jesus' mother to endure this incredible time of suffering in her son's life, but in her own life. She did not understand. It said scripture had not yet revealed to his disciples nor to his mother that he was to go to the cross and die a torturous death. And so here she's at the cross, enduring the pain alongside of him. But in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. When he rose from the grave, that resurrection power rests on you today. Today. He is only concerned about today. And he says to you, my resurrection power can rest on you because of my compassion and my goodness. He wasn't so caught up with his own suffering that he forgot the needs of his mother. He directs his mother and tells her to look at John and says, mother, woman, actually, he says, woman, here is your son. And he looks to John and he says, here is your mother. Compassion is the sometimes fatal capacity of feeling what it's like to live inside somebody else's own skin. It's the knowledge that there can never really be any peace or joy for me until there's peace and joy finally for you too. I love that about Christ. I want to encourage you today. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what brought you here today. But I want to encourage you that at the cross and through the resurrection, there was a release of God's love through the death on the cross. There was a release of heartfelt grace to all that stood at the cross. And as you come today and see our cross on the wall, you have to recognize that people stood watching one they loved be crucified for you and I to enjoy the forgiveness and the freedom and the joy of our sins being forgiven so we could come and celebrate the life and resurrection of our Lord today. He cares about what's going on in your skin. He's concerned when he looks from the heavenly realms, and he's seated at the right hand of his Father. And just as Sherry shared today, he's longing for his return. He wants to scoop you up. He's coming to scoop you up. But he's going to come today in your situation, and he's going to pour into you an everlasting love. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. Call on his name. That's what Jesus is asking for you today. Whatever your circumstance that you don't have the strength to endure, whatever the circumstance that burdens your heart, whatever the circumstance that overwhelms you, whatever the circumstance that's hardened your spirit person, whatever the circumstance that's led you into bondage and darkness, whatever your circumstance, I want to tell you that it was compassion that drove Jesus to the depths of hell to take and rip those keys from the enemy and says, victory is mine. Amen. Compassion and the goodness of God were at the wonderful cross. Remember this tender moment and be ready today. Today, not tomorrow. Today, to step up and say, God, I'm willing to be a John in somebody's life. Amen? Amen. I like that. That was a deep baritone voice. Amen. You must be a preacher. He's saying, come on, come to the cross and remind yourself of my compassion, of a love that will never end. The steadfast love of the Lord will never cease, and my mercies will never come to an end. They are new every morning, just like that resurrection Sunday morning. It was a new love when they experienced the resurrected Lord. It was new joy that they had never experienced before on that day. We see in verses 28 to 29, the wonderful cross is an exceptional accomplishment of Jesus' earthly mission. We see in verse 30 where it says, it is finished. It is finished. It's a shout of triumph. It's a declaration of victory. He cried with a loud voice, not a cry of one dying from physical exhaustion. That's not what that cry was about. But it was a cry of a conqueror in full strength of victory. He knew that God had sent him and that his Father so loved this world that he had to send him. That whoever would believe in the Son who is now on the cross and would become the resurrected Lord, whoever would believe in him would not perish. Did you hear what I said? You will not perish, but you will have eternal life, abundant life. And he knew it was finished and that life, abundant life, was coming around the corner in 3 days. Wow. It is finished. The price was paid in full. Paid in full for what? For my sin, for my freedom, so that I could be free from the bondage and sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. It took the blood of Jesus. That's what it took. It took the sacrifice and the ransom that he paid the penalty for yours and my sin. It is finished meant that all the hatred, all the cruelty of Jesus' prosecutors had done their worst. It was over. It is finished, validated, that the Old Testament prophecies that pointed to the suffering servant were now accomplished. The Messiah went to the cross and would rise again on the third day. Prophecy fulfilled. If you have experienced a prophetic word, just as Christ's prophetic words came to pass, I'm encouraging you that part of your triumphant victory in Jesus Christ is that the words he spoke to your life will become words of fruition in the days to come. It is finished. Meant the ceremonial law was abolished, and sin would be forgiven and cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus. It is finished is a reminder that all who suffer for Christ and with Christ can find comfort knowing that the intensity of their suffering will eventually come to an end. Remember that when you look to the cross, and remember that when you're celebrating the resurrection power, that no matter what situation, no matter what suffering you're enduring, no matter what somebody might have done, said, or will do, it is finished at the cross of Calvary, and you will overcome your time of suffering. There is a grace that marks your life and leads you through the valley of shadow of death into the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful opportunity for us today to acknowledge whatever we're suffering, whatever is our burden, whatever has caused us to be heavy-hearted today. When you come, he says, that situation, though in the natural is not complete, in the spirit it is completed. Amen. Amen. Come on, folks. In the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, Derek Redmond from Great Britain, he was actually considered one of the most favorite athletes and contenders for a medal. And it was the evening of August 3rd, 1992, as Redmond was pitted against seven others in a semifinal for the 400 meters. Redmond knelt poised, waiting for the race to start. As the gun went off, his body was translated into a human locomotion, feverishly charging against the other runners. As Redmond prepared to round the curve at the halfway mark, he suddenly heard a pop. It was his right hamstring. Redmond soon found himself trapped by the searing pain of his leg. The other runners finished the race as he desperately continued in his painful trek to the finish line. He weighed off the stretchers, however, determined to finish the race. From the stands, his father had been watching. He pushed his way past the security guards to meet his son on the track. He then reached out to his weeping son. "Look, you don't have to do this." And Redmond then replied, "Yes, I do." His father then said, "Well, if you're going to finish this race, we'll finish it together." With his arm locked around his son, Jim Redmond helped his son to the finish line to the sounds of a cheering stadium. I think that's what we heard this time in worship this morning. The cheers of those standing in the stands, watching the resurrected Lord celebrate his resurrection. Amen. We have to remember that God was watching his son from the stands of heaven. God is always ready to come out of the stands. He's always ready to put his arms around you and help you to the finish line. And he's waiting for you to say, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." That's exactly what God did when Jesus rose from the dead on Resurrection Sunday. He stood with his arm around his son, and he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. The wonderful cross triumphantly declares that it declares Jesus Christ's victory. And there is only one victor in this world, only one, and his name is Jesus. You can triumphantly declare that Jesus Christ's victory is a part of your life. You can declare that today. Resurrection Sunday is possible because of the cross. You can't ignore the cross to embrace the tomb and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After he had died and was buried, and he rose from the dead, the angel joyfully proclaimed, "He is not here. He is risen." He is risen. When you embrace the triumph of the cross, that's when you begin to walk in resurrection life and victory. I just want to encourage you this morning that God loves you and wants you to experience abundant and eternal life. John 10:10 says, I have come that we may have life, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Each of us chose to disobey God and go our own willful way. This actually results in a separation from God. Romans 6:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Many of us, all of us, I should say, all of us have attempted to reach God by bridging the gap, bridging it in our own methods. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. I want to encourage you this morning that there's only one bridge that can be built and bring the Father and you together, and that is the cross. That's the bridge. You can't get around it. He died on the cross and rose from the grave, and he paid the penalty for your sin. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He wants to bring you to God, his Father, this morning. Well, what do I do? How do I do this? You talk about the cross. You talk about what occurred on the cross. You talk about this triumphant victory that Jesus had on the cross, that we know and celebrate that he rose from the dead. But how is that going to affect me personally? Well, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you must receive him through a personal invitation. You can't just sit here and say, well, I went to church and now I love Jesus. No. You need to come to the cross. You need to come to the cross, and you need to actually respond to the cross. Well, how do I do it? Well, Jesus is saying today, Here I am. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Revelations 3:20. He's standing right now. You probably have sensed the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart today as we were worshiping together. And as you've watched the children and as you've heard the beautiful music and you watch the art on the screen, he is saying to you today, I'm standing at the door of your heart. I want you to respond. And I've been longing for you to respond. This is how you can respond. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. You can't get around it. The wonderful cross triumphantly declares Jesus Christ's victory over sin, over hell, and gives us eternal life. But you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and receive Jesus as your Lord. Well, how do I do that, Pastor James? And I didn't come here to do that. Why are you asking me to do that? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. That's why. I want you to admit your need. Admit that you're a sinner. I want you to be willing to turn from your sins. How do I do that? You need to repent. You need to confess them and repent of them. And you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and that he rose from the grave. That's what we've been celebrating, that he rose from the grave. That's what he did for you and I. And through prayer, you can invite Jesus to come in, control your life, through his Holy Spirit. Receive him as your Lord and Savior today. Some of us might need to recommit our hearts. Some of us may be so far away from that compassion. And you just need God to come down from the sands of heaven and wrap his arms around you and just say, everything's going to be okay. Some of you have been doing things in your own strength. And you need the grace of God today. Just as Mary did when she was standing, looking up at her son on the cross. God whispers to you today, my grace is more than sufficient. Maybe you need grace. Grace. Hope, grace, forgiveness, and healing can be found at the cross. And then you can truly enjoy the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you would like that opportunity, I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, congregation. You could be online watching, and you can be here. Here's your opportunity today to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I want to pray that prayer. I want you to just slip your hand up so I can see, and we're going to pray for you today. Amen. Slip your hand up. Amen. Maybe you need more grace in your life because the situation you're involved in is just too much. If you need grace, I want you to put up your hand. Amen. Amen. Maybe you kind of become lukewarm and you've not stood at the cross for a long, long time. Your heart is overwhelmed by the busyness of life, and you just need your Heavenly Father to come and stand by your side and say, I'm taking you to the finish line. If that's you, put up your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say a prayer that's called a salvation prayer. I'm going to ask all of us to say, because then we can all recommit our hearts to the Lord today as we stand at the cross. Amen? And as we're moved by the cross, just join with me this morning, please. Dear Lord, I thank you for the wonder of the cross. I thank you for the how it triumphantly declares Jesus Christ's victory. I know that you're standing at the door, at my heart and knocking. And I'm opening the door to let you come into my heart. I admit that I'm a sinner and I repent of those sins. And I ask, Lord God, that you would forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart at this moment. Transform the way I live my life. I pray this knowing that Jesus is not here, but he is alive. Amen. I pray right now, Lord, for those who are standing at the cross and they need grace in the situations of life. They need that grace, which is more than sufficient to carry them in their season of weakness. Father, make them strong, make them free, make their hearts full of worship for Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray today for those who've given up hope, those who, Lord, really don't see you in the heavens, standing in the stands, cheering them on. But because of the resurrection of Christ, we are continuously being cheered on by you. Come down, Lord, from the stands. And grab your son or daughter and remind them that you're standing with them in the midst of their situation in life today. In Jesus' name I pray. He is not here. He is risen. Amen. Bless the Lord. If you made a commitment to Christ this morning, you received him for the first time, Maybe you prayed and recommitted your life, we'd like to meet you up here at the altar and pray for you. We'd love to put some materials in your hands so that you understand what you did this morning. And if you need encouragement and you need the Father to come out of the stands of heaven and to stand by you, He's willing to do that too. And you can receive prayer for that. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day. And enjoy your celebration with family and friends.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.